I will. Yeah, I'm Billy Morrow, as you can see. I'd just like to start off by saying, whenever Juliet actually introduced this research project at a meeting one day, I thought, well, I'd quite like to do that. You know, it seemed like a 100-metre sprint, and I'm quite a fast person. I quite like to do things at a quick pace. So I thought, well, this is a short project, get on with this. Little did I know it would turn into a marathon with hurdles along the way, but that's exactly what actually happened. Which button am I pressing, Catherine?
Just that
left
one.
Or right?
This one here. Then, yeah.
This was the title of my research project. I didn't make it up. I didn't go out thinking, what am I going to do? This actually came to me from a patient during an assessment interview one day, where I was asking lots of questions, as we do. And she said to me, look, dear, just because I'm old doesn't mean I'm vulnerable. And it also took me back, actually, because I think we have this view of people who are over the age of 65. We have lots of documentation and lots of labelling of people being vulnerable. So I was quite taken back. So it wasn't something that I just plucked from the air. And I thought, we have to go back to actually thinking. Years back, we talked about holistic care and individual approaches to care, and actually, we now have started putting labels on people who were, so to say, vulnerable. So that's where the title of it came from. I sort of felt at the time, as I've gone through the process of the research, that actually I'd opened up a whole can of worms. Now I think I've actually opened up a barrel of snakes. It's not, everybody does not get this, and you'll understand why as I go along. The background of it is, as you can read, being deemed to be vulnerable has a range of potential consequences, both to people living in the community and those admitted to hospital. Recognising it where it exists is vital, but inappropriate labelling can be harmful in itself. And so therefore, it's my belief it's necessary to understand it and what makes one believe that they themselves are vulnerable or not. So we had to sort of investigate, compare the views of older people, and I decided that actually it was all very well to go and ask people in hospital, but what did people feel before they came into hospital? Was there a difference? Was there, as an everyday person in the community of 65 over, were you feeling vulnerable before you came into hospital, or did we just make you feel vulnerable when you got there? So I needed to ask that question. That was it. My research question finally came after, again, like the rest of my colleagues, lost lots and lots of questions, but actually, if I didn't have one, I probably wouldn't be where I am now. I'd still be in the mull of everything else. But one, believe me, in this instance, with this question, was more than enough. So I had to go off and gather the information that I needed to help me answer the questions. So I was looking for people over the age of 65, 8 from a community-based setting, and 8 patients from hospital. What I then discovered was I was going to need ethical approval, informed consent and participant information. Easy for those in the community, because I could go and ask them. I didn't need the ethical approval. I needed their consent, and I needed to inform them what it was about. That was quite simple. I was going to have to do semi-structured interviews, audio tape them and field note them, and then transcribe all this wonderful data and check for accuracy by giving it back to these people and saying, are these your own words? So off I went to get my people in the community. And they were very forthcoming and very keen to take part. I had a lovely room in a local community centre, which was given to me free by the council. I put up posters, and along these people came. And I could have had more than 8, trust me. They were very willing to come and participate in this, which was quite surprising, given the word vulnerable actually means a lot of different things to different people. So I did a focus group with 4, and I did 4 individual one-to-ones. And I'm glad I did only one focus group, because I had so much paperwork after I'd finished that I thought, how the hell am I ever going to get through this? Also, I think with the focus group, what I learned was that actually they like to talk a lot about other things. Because they were all there together, we ended up talking about euthanasia and depression, and actually it was quite difficult to bring them all back to the question that we were asking. But it was worthwhile and it was enjoyable, and a lot of good information came from that. One of the statements made by one of the chaps there was actually, you know, I'm not vulnerable, but when you go into hospital, they don't make you feel vulnerable in hospital, he says, but they create a dependence. And I thought, oh, so here I had my data from the community, now I was going to go off to the hospital and interview my patients. So I had a springboard. I thought, is that what actually happens? Is that what we do? Do we make people feel vulnerable, or do we create this dependence? But my springboard didn't actually work, because what the next step was actually going to the ethics committee to go through them to gain approval to actually speak to the 8 patients in hospital to find out what they were feeling. It was the most frustrating part of my research, and still is. I'm still going through ethics. I'm now in my 3rd attempt to get approval from them. To just ask 8 people whether or not they believe they're vulnerable because they're inpatients. I'm just going to read you a little ditty, a little poem that I've written about this slide, because I think it's really important, and if anybody's ever gone through ethics, then I feel for you. And if anybody's going to go through it, then be prepared, because it wasn't the most, it wasn't the happiest experience of my life. However, I just thought, I'm still going, and I'm going to get there one way or the other. But it has actually put my research on a bit of a hold, because I only have findings from half of it. But I just wanted to share this with you, so I hope you don't mind. It's just called Ethics. Ethics approval. How tough could it be? The answer is tough, and a huge shock to me. Forms to be filled in, various people to meet, practitioner research was no mean feat. Paperwork complete, then time to arrange a meeting with ethics. It all seemed so strange. Waiting nervously, heart racing, with my colleague, Juliet, for support. Time to gather my thoughts and consider my report. Walking into a room loomed 15 strange faces. It felt more like a courtroom being put through my paces. Blank expressions stared back, lots of scribble and tuts. What was it about this research they didn't like much? Words lost in paper, tired of thinking, now hot and bothered, heart rapidly sinking. But my voice isn't heard on this particular theme. Minds were made up, my passion unseen. No understanding of the words that I've heard, heartfelt thoughts that needed to be shared. Wedge open your minds, let individual views flow. There's more to be said, I'm not ready to go. Change was required if I needed a yes. How long this would take was anyone's guess. But from this despair, I must recover and continue to work on reflections of others. So that's how it felt to me, and forgive me, but that is how I actually reflect myself, by writing ditties and little bits of poetry. But it was tough going. However, I'm still going to get the ethics. It's now ready to go back again, and we'll see what happens. Going back to my community part, though, of course I had still all this paperwork to get through and analysis, and through nights of scoring things with highlighters and one thing and another, using this lovely grounded theory approach that we all know so well now, and transcribing each interview, there were themes emerging, even from those community interviews. And this was it. From the initial analysis, it appears that people over the age of 65 living at home in the community do not see themselves as vulnerable for a variety of reasons. And these are just some of their statements. I certainly don't feel vulnerable in any aspect, but I do know what vulnerable means. But vulnerable can mean different things to different people. Obviously, I don't think there's anything else that needs to be said on that. I think vulnerability is not dependent on age anymore. And I thought, how enlightening a statement was that? I was talking about our mental and physical health being a sort of armour against vulnerability. And I think that's actually, I quite like that statement about the fact that they use their health as something that actually prevents them from being vulnerable. And the one situation doesn't fit all, and that is the thing that has been pointed out. So it's very obvious that actually people want to actually believe what they want to believe about themselves. And I think what we need to do is actually think, stop thinking, you're over 65 and you're vulnerable, what do you think? I'm not saying they're absolutely right, and actually in the ethics meeting, one of the GPs there actually said to me, so if you don't believe they're vulnerable, does that mean we don't help them at home because we believe they're vulnerable? And I said, no, I don't think it is. I think there's a compromise. It's actually understanding where each person's coming from and meeting in the middle. So for me, it's, you know, I have to continue with a further ethics application, complete those interviews, analyse and compare, and then present my findings overall. But as it says, it doesn't matter how slow you go as long as you don't stop. And that's it.
That's great. Thank you.